It is good indeed to see each of you here this evening. We do have visitors. We appreciate your coming to be with us, and it's always good to be able to study together from the Word of God. I'd like for us this evening to talk about prayer. And there's a lot of different directions we might go with this subject, but I think it's something that we need to look at from time to time. In the book of Mark in chapter 6, there Jesus had finished feeding the 5,000. And after he got through feeding the 5,000, then verse 45, it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida. While he himself was sending the multitude away, and after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. So we see that Jesus prayed often. And in fact, it's been an interesting study of mine over the years to just go through the gospel accounts and underline everywhere it says that Jesus prayed. And there's so many times that he prayed. And in one of the places it just says that, as was his custom, Jesus prayed. So he would get off by himself very often, and he would pray. So when we talk about prayer, we're talking about talking with God. And we could really devote a whole lesson just to this one definition of prayer, because it's talking to God. But you think about that. Who is God? We're talking about the one who created everything. We're talking about the one who designed everything that exists and made it come into being. And so the very concept of us talking with God is really a pretty awesome concept. We see Jesus addressing God as the Father in John chapter 17. And here he's in the upper room with the disciples on the night that he was betrayed. And before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed on behalf of his disciples. And it says, these things Jesus spoke. And lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind. To all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. We see also in Luke chapter 11, there in verses 1 and 2, Jesus had prayed there. And so while he was praying, it says, in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. In Matthew chapter 6, in what we normally call the Lord's Prayer, and this is actually Luke's recording of that prayer, but what we normally call, he begins by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. And so when we address God, we are addressing the one who is the creator of everything. He is over everything that exists. So it is, in fact, probably trepidatious. A word, it's very awe-inspiring for us to think about. I find it interesting that there are two or three different occasions in the Old Testament where people wanted to see God, and they kept saying, I need to see God, I need to see God. And finally God appeared to them. And in every single case, they fell flat on their face and said, I'm going to die because I saw God. And when we recognize who God is, then when we say we're talking with God, we're not just talking about talking with somebody like we do here. But certainly we are to approach Him with the deepest possible reverence, with respect. There certainly is never any place for us to talk to God in some flippant manner. But we approach Him with the utmost respect because He is God. But not only is He God, but we find that Jesus is our mediator and Jesus is our high priest. Now, the high priest in the Old Testament was one who went before God on behalf of the people, and then he spoke to the people on behalf of God. And so it went both ways. And so this high priest would do both. A mediator is a person who speaks on behalf of someone to somebody else. And so Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is our high priest. He is the one who intercedes for us. That is, he goes between God and mankind. And so Jesus plays a very important role in our prayers. We have to understand that, first of all, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And then it says he ascended back to the Father, where he is seated at the right hand of God. And so he is there with God, but he speaks to God on our behalf. And so he entered heaven not only to offer the sacrifice of our sins, but also to intercede for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." And so as a child of God, we can readily approach God anytime we want to. It's not a matter of, can I, you know, make an appointment to go talk to God tomorrow. But anytime we have that urge and that need, we can talk with the Father. In chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, he says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And so over and over again, we find passages where Jesus is in heaven on our behalf, talking to the Father for us and on our behalf. And so he takes what we say and presents it to the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, he says, "There is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time." If you'll notice each of these, Jesus' position in heaven is based on his sacrifice for our sins. He is our Savior, but he is also our mediator. He is our intercessor. In Romans chapter 8, there we read, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." And so we see that Jesus is our mediator. He's our intercessor, and he's our high priest who has entered heaven for us and is at the right hand of God the Father. And so when we pray to God, we come to him through Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need." As I was thinking about this, I thought about if one of us were to make a trip to England, and now they have a new king in place, and if I were to go to the palace and knock on the door and say, "Well, I came to talk to the king today." How many of you think I'd get to talk to him? No, I wouldn't get to talk to him. They say, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm Robert Fudge. I'm from Alabama over in the United States." "I'm sorry, dude, you ain't going to talk to the king." But what if I went to England and say somewhere along the way I met the royal family, at least some of the sons in the royal family, and got to be pretty good friends with them, and one of them went with me, and he said to the guard at the palace, hey, how you doing? And we'd just walk right on in. He probably wouldn't even ask who I was. Not if I was with the prince. And if I needed to talk to the king or I wanted to, well, we'd just go right on in where he is. And he'd say, Dad, got somebody I want you to meet. You see, when you have somebody with authority, then you can enter into places that you could not otherwise enter. Who am I to try to go into heaven and talk to God? But you see, Jesus has accepted me and forgiven me by His blood. And He is the one who takes me in to the Father. And He is the one who opens the door so I can pray. And so we can enter with confidence the throne of grace. He's at the right hand of the Father. And so while we pray to God, we pray through Jesus Christ. And I think this is what Jesus meant when He said that we are to ask in His name. And there's a number of passages that we could look at, but one of them, John 16, beginning verse 23. Jesus said there, "In that day you'll ask me no question. Truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus is saying here that when you pray, you talk to God, but you go to Him in my name. That is, in the name of Jesus. He says in John 17, "I manifested thy name to the men." He's talking to the Father here. This is that prayer we looked at earlier. "I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were. Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given to them. They received them and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them." And so Jesus is saying here, I'm asking on behalf of the disciples when He's talking to the Father. In verse 20, He says, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me, and the glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." And so Jesus says, not only am I asking on behalf of the disciples that were there with Him present, but He said, I'm also asking on behalf of all of those who come after them that believe on me because of their word, and that's you and me. And so when we pray to God, we pray to God in Jesus' name because He is asking on our behalf. And so we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're to pray in faith. That is, believing that He will answer us. I have heard people who prayed for something, and when it didn't come about the way they thought it maybe should, they said, "Well, I didn't think it would anyway." Well, it's sort of like when Diane and I got married, it took me a long time to teach her this, but she used to ask me to do something, and she would begin by saying, "You wouldn't want to do so-and-so." And my standard answer was, "No, I wouldn't want to." I said, "Now, if you asked me to do it, I'll be glad to do it for you. But if you just asking me, do I want to? No, I don't want to." Well, we can't approach God like that. The fact is, we talk to God through Jesus Christ in absolute assurance, with confidence, believing that He will, in fact, answer our prayers. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If we pray to God believing he's probably not going to answer it anyway, then we have our answer. He probably won't. But if we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, believing that he will answer our prayers, then we have the assurance that he will indeed answer our prayers. It doesn't mean he'll give us everything we ask for, but he will indeed give us, answer our prayer and give us what is best for us. In chapter 5 of James, beginning of verse 13, he says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. If you go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, Elijah there tells King Ahab that he's going to stop the rain. And it did. It stopped for 3.5 years. Chapter 18, Elijah told King Ahab, "You better get home because it's fixing to rain." And there came a flood almost. It was a downpour. You see, he prayed and God answered his prayer. And James says, we are people just like Elijah. Elijah was a person just like us. And we are to pray believing that God will in fact answer our prayer. We pray in faith. That is, believing he'll answer it. We're not to pray with wrong or selfish motives. James talks about this in James chapter 4, beginning verse 1. He says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust, you do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And oftentimes it may be that the reason we don't receive some of the things we would like to have in life is because we don't ask for them in the first place. The second reason may be that we are asking, but we're asking with the wrong motives. We should ask so that everything we receive, whatever it is, will be to the glory of God. Not for our pleasure, not just to waste on us, but so that we can use it to honor God and to glorify God. So we must believe that God will answer, and we don't ask with the wrong selfish motives. We need to pray to be delivered from temptation. Remember Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus there in the Lord's Prayer says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In Mark chapter 14, beginning verse 37, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus had gone, He'd brought Peter, James, and John, and he left them, and he'd gone away and prayed for about an hour, and he came back. And when he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And instead of praying, Peter slept. And he succumbed to the temptation, and that very night he denied Jesus 3 times. If we want to overcome temptation, if we want to be delivered from evil, then we better be a praying people. We pray about everything. There's nothing too big to pray for, and there's nothing too small to pray for. Had someone told me one time that was talking about praying about some particular thing, and it wasn't any... wasn't like a major life-changing thing that we were talking about. And they looked at me and they said, "I don't think we need to bother God with the little things like that." How would you feel if your children only came to you if they had a life-altering circumstance before they wanted to talk to you? You not want to hear about the little things in their life? You see, it's all the little things that make up the big things. Sure, we want to, and God does too. He wants us to talk to Him about all the things that are going on in our life. He knows. We're not telling Him something He doesn't. Jesus said, He knows before you ask what you want. He knows what you need. But He still wants you to ask Him. The same thing with us as parents. Same thing with us as grandparents. Many times we know what our kids would like to have. We know what they maybe need, but we want them to ask us for it. And we want them to understand some things about that, that they're dependent upon us. And so God wants us to ask Him and talk to Him about anything. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so we're to pray about everything, but we are to pray about everything with thanksgiving. He said, in everything give thanks. We are to pray with thanksgiving in everything we do. The one in Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so we need to be thankful to God for all the wonderful things He does. I know that in my life there have been times that I have prayed earnestly for something, and then when God answered the prayer, sometimes I may slack in giving Him thanks for answering. We need to be careful and not do that. We need to be thankful. We need to lace all of our prayers with thanksgiving for all the wonderful things that God does for us. Prayer is to be a part of our everyday life. It's not something that's just what we do when we come here. There is a time to pray publicly. Jesus prayed publicly. He gave thanks for the food when there was over 5,000 people there. Public prayer sometimes falls into two categories. Sometimes, and you can find in the Scripture where there is a person who is praying on behalf of the people publicly, and he's praying as a person on behalf of these people. There are other situations where there is public prayer, and it is where one person is leading the prayer for everybody. And when we pray publicly here in a worship service, almost always that is the case. There is one person who is wording the prayer, but all of us are to be praying together that same prayer so that we are being led in prayer as we all pray together. And that's public prayer. And Jesus talked about public prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, He said, "Don't do it just to be seen of men, because if you do, that's all you're going to get out of it." But rather, He said, pray privately. And there are times that we just get off by ourselves. In the text of our lesson tonight, Jesus went off by Himself to pray, as He did very often. And so there are times that we pray privately. As we've already seen from the book of James, there are times that we pray for each other. And so there are so many things that prayer should be a part of our everyday life, whatever it is, publicly, privately, praying for each other, whatever the case may be. And as we pray, we need to pray for greater faith. We need to pray for wisdom, as we saw in James 1, verse 5. We need to pray that we can have more love for God and more love for each other. We need to pray for the strength of God to empower us, that we can be what God wants us to be. We pray for the Holy Spirit to live in us more fully so that His fruit will be grown and developed in us. And we pray for the Lord to come, that we can be with Him in eternity. Question this evening is, are you ready for the Lord to come? If Jesus were to come back to this earth tonight to claim His own, would you be ready? If you're not, you have this opportunity to make your life right with God, either by confessing your faith in Jesus and being buried in baptism, or asking God to forgive you as His child if you've gone astray. Whatever the case may be, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.